Awesome. Hey, stand up real quick, and let's go to somebody and just give them a big giant hug. Tell them they're gorgeous. Hey, come on, give them a big hug. Come on, everybody, let's go real quick. Come on, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful, you're awesome. It feels so good in here this morning. I can't hardly stand it. Praise be to God. Amen. So I'm super excited about the kingdom of God today and his goodness, his mercy. And I want us to stay standing for a moment. My mic is roaring up here. Can I get a little help, a little feedback? I want you to hold your hands out like this, here. And I want you to say, Father, I want all you got for me. More, Lord. Just open my heart to hear today. Open my eyes to see. And I'm crazy in love with you, Jesus. And we love you more. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Man, I am excited to be home. We had a great time. And somebody was making a little joke this morning about Ryan's little joke from Sunday about they're on a retreat vacation. And I'm going to tell you, it was an awesome vacation. They brought breakfast to bed every morning. Of course, I was out of the bed, but it was awesome. And, man, it was a great time. And me and my lovely wife had a blast. And so thank y'all for loving us, and we love y'all, and it was amazing. And I got to listen to Peyton's message. He did a great job. I was wondering this morning if we were believing the words we were singing. If we were really thinking, those songs today had so much good theology in them of the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And I hope that when we were singing those songs today, we wasn't just fulfilling this time of worship and not really singing those things unto the Lord. And Lord, you're so good to us, and he has been so, so very good. I'm excited about this series, and I'm excited about the kingdom of God. And today I'm gonna be speaking on living in a kingdom culture, and the Lord just really been speaking to my heart about a few things. So I'm gonna preach to this message, and then next Sunday I'm gonna be talking about what that really looks like. So I'm kind of laying some groundwork this Sunday on living in a kingdom culture, and I kind of shortened this because I felt like I was getting too much information, but today I really just want to talk to your heart so about how we live in that place of a kingdom realm and get out of this place that we're at and really focus our attention upon the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which is very awesome the way they wrote this. And so if you want to read along behind me, you can. It says, as we approach God, we leave the natural realm behind. For we are not coming, as Moses did, to a physical mountain with its burning fire and thick clouds of darkness and gloom and with raging whirlwinds. We're not those who are being warned by the jarred blast of trumpet and by the thundering voice warning the people to keep their distance and the fearful voice that they beg to be silent. They couldn't handle God's command that said, if you so much an animal approaches the mountain, it will be stoned to death. The astonishing phenomena of Moses' witness caused him to shudder with fear, and he could only say, I am trembling in terror. By contrast, everybody say, by contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm, and the Zion realm. For we have entered into the city of the living God, which is the new Jerusalem in heaven. And we have joined the festival gathering of the myriad of angels in their joyous celebration. As members of the church of the firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. Let's read that again. And as members of the church of the firstborn, all of our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. Woo! And we have come before God who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous, who have been made perfect in his eyes. Come on, somebody say, I've been made perfect in his eyes. And we have come to Jesus, who established a new covenant with his blood and sprinkled upon the mercy seat, the blood that continues to speak from heaven, forgiveness, a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice. Make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when he speaks. For the God who spoke on earth from Sinai is the same God who now speaks from heaven. And those who heard him speak his living word on earth found nowhere to hide. So what chance is there for us to escape if we turn our backs on God and refuse to hear his warnings as he speaks from heaven? The earth was rocked at the sound of his voice from the mountain, but now he has promised, once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of this world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm. Now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates that the final removal of things that are shaking, and this the old order, so only with the unshakable realm. Since we're receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, and since we're receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender and filled with awe, for our God is holy and a devouring fire. Come on, somebody say a consuming fire. Come on, y'all sound like y'all asleep this morning. Y'all still waiting on a storm to come? It ain't coming. You can move on. A consuming fire. We live so much of our life in this realm of the natural. And it's real important if we're going to see the supernatural realm, if we're going to see God do some amazing things, we have to leave this realm that we're in. So we live in what the natural eye might see is probably one of the darkest and craziest times in our history. And most of us don't remember past history, past wars. We wasn't alive then. We wasn't around for that. But we look around us now and we see everything that's going on, all the craziness going on, people being killed, and all this, and we can get our attention on the things that are going on in the natural. And if we do, then we lose sight of what God is doing in the earth. And so it's real important not that we get tuned in to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Because if we're just tuned into the negative, that becomes our reality. If we're tuned into just what's bad in the earth, that becomes our reality. Listen, the enemy is using all of those things to bring this accusation against us that's not real. We are the body of Christ. We are the chosen people, called out, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And if we're not careful, we'll look at all the negative and we'll just see those things instead of seeing the purpose and the plan of God in our life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So we have to tune in to the Spirit. We have to tune into what God is speaking. Bill Johnson said this week, and he said, we build our theology on what is wrong and not what is right. We build our theologies oftentimes on what we see around us that's negative. The end of the world is coming. Look at all of this bad that's going on, and we don't focus on the good things that God's doing. How many's had a miracle in your life, ever in your life? You've had a miracle in your life. How many times has God showed up in some crazy ways and done something amazing in your life, but so easily those miracles in our life are washed over by all the negative stuff around us? So we build our theology sometimes on the gloom and doom instead of on the blessing of God. How many had a good, you may not have eaten this morning, but you eat regular, you have good meals, you have a good car to drive in, you didn't get here today, you didn't have to walk to church today, you've been blessed. And we sometimes don't see the blessing of God in our life because we're so focused upon all the negative. This is a funny little story yesterday. We forget sometimes about how God blesses us even even in our foolishness. Day before yesterday, we were leaving Reading, and I miscalculated the time, the drive time. I just had a moment, a senior moment. I just miscalculated the drive time. And so as we took off, after we already left, I was like, oh, my goodness, we're going to be late. We're not going to make the plane. So I didn't say anything to Angela. I didn't want her to panic, but I did start driving about 90 miles an hour, hoping to God we didn't get stopped, and I was just booking it down the highway. And she says, I have to go to the restroom. I was like, no, you don't. And so I was like, we really don't have time for that. But so I pulled in Starbucks. So actually, I just pulled off the road. There happened to be a Starbucks there. So that was great because I needed a cup of coffee. So we grabbed the bathroom quick and grabbed a cup of coffee and hit the road again. And I was calculating the time. And I remembered, oh, I forgot to get gas. So then I started thinking, I got to get gas, but I got to time this right because I want a full tank when I get there because I'm going to have stopped and fill up the rental car again, blah, blah, blah. I started figuring this all out. So I was watching the gas, and I was waiting for the light to come on. I was waiting, trying to time it all just right so I could bring and get gas, get out. Anyway, we pulled up at the Enterprise. As we pulled up the Enterprise, they were boarding the plane. Now, we hadn't even checked our car in. So I told Angela, leave your stuff in the car. And I ran in there, and I was like, hey, can anybody drive us to the airport? We don't have time to ride the bus. And they was like, yeah, I'll take you. So we jumped the car, ran around there. We got in there. I said, hey, we're late. I just passed everybody waiting in line. Hey, we're late. We need a ticket. We got to go. And they was like, come on up here. You got 3 minutes. You should not have any problems. Security line's not very big. We got around there. It was like 100 people in the security line. I just went in priority like I owned the place and walked up there and smiling, handed the lady my ticket, played dumb. And she looked in, she checked us in, she smiled, she goes, right this way. And I was like, thank God. We got on the plane. I said, thank God for the miracles. Thank God for the miracles. Because sometimes, even in our foolishness, God still takes care of us. Sometimes when we miscalculate, God makes up the difference because God is good. I want you to say that this morning. God is good. And he cares about us. He cares about little things in life that we miss, that we don't pay attention to. God cares about us. And so we don't want to build our theology around all the bad stuff that's happened. We want to build our theology around the goodness of God and what he's done for us, what he will do for us, and the blessings of God in our life. We get focused on this gloom and doom then more oftentimes than we get focused on who God says we are and what he's called us to do. In Acts 2:17, the scripture tells us, and this is what I will do in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, your old men will experience dreams from God. And the Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will reveal startling signs and wonders. This is what's going to happen in the last days. And if we're not careful, we'll just look at the last days of all the bad stuff that's happening instead of the revival fire that's being poured out. Listen, we're entering into one of the greatest. I'm not going to say that. Take that back. Rewind that. We are in one of the greatest times known in history. This is one of the greatest moments in history when God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. You know why we lack sometimes seeing the revival fire that we would like to see? It's because of the distractions that we have in life. Not because there's not a revival fire happening, but because we're distracted with the things of life. Amen. Our focus is off. So when I talk about the kingdom today, I want us to recognize, first of all, that who we are. We're the sons and the daughters of the Most High. We are world changers, not just survivors. I want you to say that today. I'm a world changer, not a survivor. We're not supposed to go through this life thinking, oh, if I can just make it through tomorrow, if I can just survive, if I can just get through. God has awarded us of the goodness of his heart and his life so that we might live not in just a survival mode, but to live abundantly, to live in a life full of joy. And Tori said this morning, to live a life of hope, to live a life of peace. And you can't buy that with all the money in the world. And so when we live in this kingdom mindset of how good God is, it changes everything and how we see everything. The Lord's called us to be the voice, the hands, the feet of the church. The kingdom of God is simply this. Let me give it to you in a simple form. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. The kingdom of God is simply His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And the way His will is done on earth as it is in heaven is through the sons and daughters. It's through us. That's how His will is done. And if we don't understand the kingdom, we will look at the world around us and be praying for God to take us out and rather than for us to bring the kingdom near. When I was growing up, and I remember this, and maybe some of you that are old as I am or maybe a little older can remember that most of our theology and our songs were centered around leaving. Most of our songs were about, won't it be good when we get over there? Won't it be good out when we get leave this place? And I'm here to tell you today, I believe that our theology should be, it's good now because Christ is in us, the hope of glory, and we changing the world around us. I'm not just trying to escape, but I'm trying to pull heaven down. I'm trying to pull heaven down. I'm bringing heaven to this earth, and God is using me for this hour to be a world changer, not just a survivor. You know, we talk about the joy of the Lord is our strength. How do we walk in the joy of the Lord? It's when we do the will of the Father. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about this a little bit more, but I want to highlight this just for a second. Is that if we understand the kingdom of God, we simply understand that that's what Jesus did. He came to fulfill the kingdom purpose. And how did He do that? He just did the will of the Father. And when we do the will of the Father, we're bringing heaven to earth. So it's so important for us to know who we're called to be, what we're here for, and so that we can accomplish that in the earth. From our text in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, as we approach God, we leave the natural realm behind. As we approach God, we leave the natural realm behind. We can from time to time experience a touch of heaven. But if we truly want to have a kingdom culture, we leave the natural realm behind. It's not enough just to come to church and to feel the presence of God on occasion. I'm talking about walking in a kingdom mentality. I'm not talking about having just a, "Ooh, that was a good service last Sunday. That was a great, well, that revival we had last year was awesome." That time back 4 years ago when God spoke, that time when I was a kid, I'm not talking about those moments in time that we remember that we had an encounter with God. All those are awesome, and I want to continue to have those. I'm talking about living in a place where you're in a kingdom mindset. It's not just something that happens on occasion, but it's the way I live every day of my life, every moment of my life. I will say this to add back into that, dreaming dreams and seeing visions. I've had people say, well, I don't really dream dreams. And I'm not a big dreamer. Here lately, I've been dreaming much more. I think it's because it said, old men shall dream dreams. You can laugh at that. But there's been a lot of times that I've had a lot of visions. I've had seen a lot of things in the spirit realm. I think that the reason we don't prophesy, we don't see miracle signs and wonders like what we preach about, is because we're living too much attached to this earthly realm instead of the spiritual realm. And we're too attached to the things that are going on around us instead of what God is saying right now. What is God speaking right now? What is He saying right now? How is He speaking to the situations that we're seeing? And we react to the natural instead of the supernatural. But when we learn to live in the realm of the supernatural, then we react to the supernatural and we ignore what's going on in the natural. The children of Israel lived in the realm of the natural where they trusted God. There's times where they begin to waver. You know, when Moses was up on the mountain, that their trust in God wavered. They went and built a golden calf. They said, "Whoa, this is not working out like we thought it should work out. So let's build a golden calf and let's worship this golden calf." And we talk about how terrible that those children of Israel are for going and building a golden calf. But how many golden calves have we built? When things didn't work out the way we thought they should work out, when we go run off and do this or do that to try to sustain our lives in the natural instead of trusting God for the supernatural and trusting Him for the miracle that He's wanting to do in our lives. When we live in a kingdom realm, we trust God in the middle of the storm. We trust God when there's not enough provision. We trust God when we don't hear His voice. We trust God. We trust God in the supernatural realm because we know that He's faithful and that His word cannot lie. And so we don't waver. We don't turn to the natural. We don't turn to those things in the flesh to try to fulfill this thing that God has already said over our lives. So we learn how to wait upon the Lord with faith. It's our trust in God. The scripture says this that we read today. By contrast, we have already come near to God in a total different realm. We have come near to God in a total different realm. The realm of Zion. We have entered to the city of the living God, which is the new Jerusalem. We have entered into this place with God that we're living in heavenly places here on earth. Oh, come on. I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I'm living in a heavenly place here on earth. I'm living with heaven authority here on earth. I'm living in a place of righteousness and holiness, not by my good works, but by a heavenly communion with God. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm living in the Spirit. My life is not my own. I'm not looking to the natural. I'm looking to the realm of the supernatural. I love that. And as members of the church, of the firstborn, all of our names have been legally registered in the citizens of heaven. You know what? I have a passport. I have a heavenly passport that allows me some really awesome things. If you try to leave this country without a passport, you won't get very far. But worse than that, if you leave and then realize you don't have a passport, I hope you enjoy the country you visited, because you're not coming back. And so many times we don't understand that God has given us this heavenly passport, that we live in a heavenly realm while we're here on earth. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Come on, how many times have you been hearing that preached all through your life? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we walk out the doors of the church and it feels like we're really in this world. Man, the pastor said today, we're in this world, but we're not of it, but it feels like we're in it. And that's because our eyes are set up on the things of this world and not on the things of heaven. We have to leave this world's realm. And look, I remember throughout my life people saying, well, you know, that's just not normal. That's not my nature. That's not how things go. Or we make all these excuses when God doesn't do what we think He ought to do. And so we want to stay attached a little bit to the natural realm so we can make excuses. Well, when we pray for somebody and they don't get healed, we'll say, well, sometimes, and we'll make an excuse for God. Or we'll live in this natural realm so that we can sometimes excuse our behavior. Y'all smile back at me. We can excuse. Well, I'm sorry. This is human nature. I know, but we're not supposed to have our nature. We're supposed to have His nature. Y'all smile. We're supposed to take on the nature of Him. And here's the deal. Those things, when we live in this supernatural realm and we go before Him, our faith and our trust is not in our ability of what we can or we can't do. We're living with a passport on this earth, but we know that we're from another place. I'm not a member of the harbor. I'm a member of a citizen of heaven. Come on, somebody. My registration is not here. My registration is over there. And I am here for this season so that I can change the world around me. I'm living in heavenly places while I'm living here on earth. Am I confusing you this morning? We walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We live our lives with heaven on us, touching lives so that they can experience what we've experienced. I love what Bill said years ago. I heard him say that we should walk into a place and leak the goodness of God out of our life. It should be leaking out of us. It should, and I'm going to talk about this some next week, but the presence of Jesus was so attractive, people had to be around him. Our presence should be so full of heaven, and we should be so attractive that people desire to be around us. They want to be around us. They want to sense and feel and touch what we have. But when we live in this natural realm and we're up one day and down the other and high on heaven one day and barely escaping hell the next, they wonder. They wonder. I'm just going to say something here that may offend some of you, but you'll get over it. You know, the world turns to all kinds of things to satisfy them, drugs, alcohol, sex, blah, 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 blah. And we as Christians don't do that, right? We keep from that. We sustain from that because we're doing the good works of the Father. But our Christian lifestyle is like this. Woo! Hallelujah! God's so good. Boom! Oh, I'm just trying to get through. If I can, I'm almost dead. I can't make it. I'm dying. Oh, just suffering for Jesus. I'm just making it through this weary land. Now, who wants to be attached to that? I don't. I'd rather go party with the drunks. At least they're having fun. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody say amen, whether you like it or not. When we live in a heavenly realm, in a supernatural place, knowing who we are created to be, we don't go through these spiritual roller coaster of life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said, well, that's God. That's not me. But it's God in you. You should have something in you that is steady and unmoving, that's the same. Well, that means I can't have a bad day. That means you're going to stand on top of your bad day instead of letting your bad day stand on top of you. That means that there's going to be times that finances are going to be low, but who's your provider? I'm not going to look to try to say, oh, God, I don't know what we're going to do. Life is coming in on top of us. We can't make it. We're falling apart. Oh, I got to go get 10 more jobs. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to sell everything. I got to get rid of everything. I have no trust in God. Because we live in this roller coaster of being attached to the natural instead of the supernatural. And when we trust in God, he always provides. It always comes like I want it to come, nor does it come in the timing I want it to come. But he's faithful. And he's good. And he's perfect in all of his ways. And so when I move from this idea of being attached to this world, that I'm a citizen of heaven, but I'm on this earth so that I can pull heaven to earth, so everyone around me gets to experience, they get to see what it looks like to live in a heavenly realm. Am I making any sense to anybody this morning? That's why I said earlier about the children of Israel. We say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God doesn't speak to us in our timing. Well, I'll just go build a golden calf. I'll worship this for a little while. Maybe this will help me. I'll reach out for something else because this is not working for me. No, we trust in our God and his unchanging love. And we're living in an unshakable kingdom. Look, this world may fall apart. Our government may fall apart. Your bank account may fall apart. All of that may fall apart, but the kingdom of heaven, trust me, my friend, he's not having a bad day, and it's not going to fall apart. Worship team, you could come. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We have been given access through the blood of the Lamb to live in heavenly places. His blood speaks a better word. His blood is powerful. His blood heals our body. His blood heals our soul. His blood changes our life. Christ has given his life so that we could be a part of a kingdom that is unshakable. Unshakable. As we're in this series moving forward, it's my desire and my hope that we create a culture that's a part of our house. As Peyton did a great job talking last week about a culture of worship. And in our text today, we read that there comes a place in our life that we should have such a love for God, such a passion for his presence, that we live in this unshakable, unshakable kingdom. And we should be extremely thankful and offer to God our purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives for his. This unshakable world. What delights God's heart? He delights his heart when we trust in him. He delights his heart when we just always depend upon him. We lay our head upon his chest and we hear the voice of God and we hear what he's saying to us. It would be my desire that we would have a kingdom culture that when we come against a storm, that we not be a shaking church, but we would be a church that's unshakable. When we come against situations in our life and we realize, hey, listen, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but here's what I'm doing. I'm putting all my hope in the Lord. I'm putting all my faith in the Lord. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to look to God and say, hey, God, I'm believing you for supernatural things. I'm not reaching for the things of this world. I'm reaching for the things of heaven. I like to see us have a kingdom culture that where our lives are so full of the glory of God and the promise of God, even when we're having a bad day, that we walk on top of our bad day and the world around us says, wow, I want that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a kingdom culture that loves people, that cares about people. That we live in a world that's shaken with all kinds of craziness and hatred and violence. But yet there's a church in Hammond, Louisiana that just loves people. We love people when they hurt us. We love people when they talk about us. We love people when they're not such good people. We love them in their ups. We love them in their downs. We love the people because God loves us. And we're reached up to heaven and we pull the heavenly virtues of heaven into our life. We pull the kingdom of heaven into our life. Everything in our life is based upon the riches of glory. Our walk, our talk, our finances, everything in our life. We trust God. We trust God. I don't let the things around me move me. Listen, we just had this whole thing with this storm. I thought it was funny. Delta was texting us, get home. There's a hurricane. Let's fly you in early. We're canceling flights. It's going to be bad. And everybody prepared themselves for it. And then some people are almost disappointed it didn't come. It's like, well, doggone it. I did all that work for nothing. Because we're so attached to this world instead of just trusting God. So if the storm comes, if the storm doesn't come, if the rains come, if the rain doesn't come, if the waters rise or if the waters don't rise. I was glad to get up this morning and see everything in my yard was intact. We could have been singing a different song this morning. But what if? What if this morning the storm had come? Will we still be as excited about the kingdom of God? And now I want to relate that to the storms that are in life, the things that happen in life. Sometimes in life, things don't go the way we think they ought to go. But I'm living in a kingdom culture that's pulling on heaven's goodness. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, it is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. God, you're good. You make your mercies new every morning. And I trust in you, God. Could you bow your heads with me this morning?